Good evening, it is 5 p.m. and you're listening to Today in YGK on CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Lower Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. Today in YGK is brought to you by CFRC's News Collective. CFRC's news programming is made possible by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist, Christine Laurie, and here are your local news headlines. Kingston Humane Society celebrates 140 years with a free concert in Springer Market Square. The Kingston Humane Society, the oldest of its kind in Canada, is celebrating 140 years with a concert on Friday, August 23rd in Springer Market Square at 7 p.m. Headlining this event is Juno nominee, three-time Maple Blues Fest Female Artist of the Year, and hometown favorite, Miss Emily. Tunes for Tales, celebrating 140 years of compassion, produced by the Downtown Kingston BIA, also features local band The Wilderness and songwriting phenomenon, Evan Rotella. Gord Hunter, executive director of the Kingston Humane Society, states, quote, 140 years in any field is worth celebrating. But in animal welfare, that equates to tens of thousands of lives saved, and that deserves a party. Mayor Brian Patterson will be on hand to welcome attendees and get festivities underway. The concert is free to attend, and while donations will be accepted, Hunter confirms that that is not the event's only objective. He stated, quote, our goal is to have everyone who ever adopted, fostered, volunteered, donated, or dropped off a stray animal to join us in Springer Market Square for a giant community celebration. Friday night's free concert kicks off a full weekend of pet-related events and activities, with details coming soon. In a message from the Kingston Frontenac Public Library, hands-on foraging workshops return to KFPL's Isabel Turner and Calvin Park branches. Foraging for the Seasons is back at the Kingston Frontenac Public Library this month. Led by experienced forager Sheila Nemsok, these workshops teach participants how to identify and harvest local wild food. From April through November 2024, KFPL will host 8 engaging workshops, each blending classroom-style learning with hands-on outdoor exploration. The April and May sessions will be held at the Isabel Turner branch, while those from June to November will take place at the Calvin Park branch. Registration for each workshop opens a month before the session at calendar.kfpl.ca. Given the region's brief harvesting windows, attendees are encouraged to join multiple workshops to maximize learning. Jake Miller, librarian in charge of adult programming, states, quote, urban foraging is both a valuable skill and an enriching experience. Foraging for the Seasons provides practical knowledge and hands-on practice so that community members can build a meaningful connection with the natural world, end quote. Nemsok brings knowledge and experience to her workshops, drawing on her upbringing in Northern Ontario, credentials in plant-based medicine from Cornell University, and a Master Naturalist Certificate from Lakehead University. She empowers participants with the skills to connect deeply with nature and integrate eco-conscious practices into their lives. Miller states, quote, by learning to forage, participants not only enrich their own lives, but also contribute to preserving our world for future generations. Register today and take another step towards a greener future. In a message from the City of Kingston, dive against debris. Shore volunteers needed for water cleanup event on April 20th. The City of Kingston, in partnership with Cork and Neptune and Salacia Diving, is inviting non-diving shore volunteers to participate in a water cleanup event at Portsmouth Olympic Harbor on Saturday, April 20th at 10 a.m. Certified divers under the direction of Neptune and Salacia Diving will be removing debris from the marina water. Volunteers stationed on land will help gather and sort the retrieved debris. 20 pairs of work gloves will be available for volunteers. This important role ensures responsible and sustainable cleanup efforts and supports the goal of a healthier marine environment. Neptune and Salacia Diving is a full professional association of diving instructors that has organized multiple dive against debris events over the years. As part of the city's commitment to environmental stewardship, they proudly support the Clean Marine Program by Boating Ontario. This program promotes best environmental practices to reduce and prevent water, air, and land pollution associated with recreational boating activities. Let's work together to preserve our local marine environment and ensure cleaner, healthier water for generations to come. To volunteer or for more information, contact Neptune and Salacia Diving by email at info@neptunesalacia.com. In another message from the City of Kingston, which was sent out on Friday, April 6th, the city continues efforts to apply daytime camping ban at Bell Park. The City of Kingston remains committed to applying the Parks Use Bylaw in all municipally owned parks, as directed by City Council, and will continue to go forward in doing so. City staff opted to temporarily suspend enforcement over the past few days in a commitment to maintaining the safety and well-being of everyone, including individuals sheltering in the park, advocates, staff, community partners, and neighbors. Bylaw crews have encountered significant challenges as groups of protesters have gathered at the entrances of Bell Park and have used logs to create barriers to entry. Paige Agnew, Commissioner of Growth and Development Services with the city, states, quote, "We acknowledge this could be creating a level of confusion for people sheltering in Bell Park particularly. City staff have been explaining to people for a few weeks what will be happening this week and also distributing information about the ban on daytime camping in efforts to ensure lots of awareness. But now, we're unable to move forward as we said we would. We acknowledge this may be causing confusion or distress for some people sheltering at Bell Park. The health and safety of everyone involved is extremely important to us," end quote. Notwithstanding the challenges, the city remains committed to applying the Parks Use Bylaw's prohibition on daytime sheltering in city parks. It also remains committed to supporting those impacted in a fair and reasonable way. The City of Kingston remains dedicated to finding safe, supportive housing for people experiencing homelessness. With that, that wraps up your headlines for this evening, and next up is Jesse Bell with your sports desk.
This is Jesse Bell, Queens football commentator and correspondent here with an update on the 2024 rendition of the Queens Gold Game. For the uninitiated, the Gold Game is a relatively new tradition in the rich history of Queens football. The Gold Game serves as the final official full contact practice for Queens football before they go on their summer break. It's an extremely important game, especially for those players that find themselves on the fringe of the starting lineup. The Gold Game is designed to simulate real-life football situations, to test the mettle of the players on the field, and prepare them for those actual game scenarios. The 2023 rendition of the Gold Game was a rather stripped-down and sedate affair. They still ran their full contact practice, but the stands were mostly empty and the weather was quite dreary. 2024, a total 180. It was a beautiful early spring day, a high of 13 degrees, sunny with a nice breeze. The crowd was absolutely jam-packed into Richardson Stadium, owed partially to the fact that prior to the 3 p.m. kickoff, there was a youth football summit of sorts at Richardson Stadium. This youth football summit was run in cooperation with the Kingston Sharks women's tackle football team, as well as the Queen's University women's football team, who helped run these young athletes through a number of drills, including skill drills for wide receivers, defensive backs, and even some tackle simulation drills. Of course, no actual full contact tackling, but still teaching them the fundamentals of how to break down and shuffle. As a member of the Kingston football community and a graduate of the Kingston youth football system, I have to say it did my heart good to see this event so well attended and to see the players really embracing the opportunity to work with young people in the community. Another welcome addition to the 2024 rendition of the Gold Game was the presence of Queens bands. It's not a Queens home football game without Queens bands, so it was absolutely delightful to see bands on site at Richardson Stadium. Now that we've set the scene, let's talk about some of the storylines that have come out of the 2024 Gold Game. The first thing I want to highlight is the presence of a walk-on player, a former Queens men's soccer player by the name of Matt Driver, who has taken a role on the special teams unit for the Queens football team. Now, Matt, we mostly saw in a punting capacity, but it was very clear that he is something of a kickoff specialist, as those strong, long legs of his were placing footballs well into the deepest corner of the end zone during kickoff drills. Matt Driver, 6'6", a soccer player turned football player, definitely somebody we're going to keep an eye on in the upcoming season. Let's focus on some of the defensive standouts for the Gold Game. It is worth noting that some of Queen's key defensive players, like defensive tackle Darian Newell, defensive end Silas Huber, and halfback Ashton Miller-Melanson, sat out the 2024 Gold Game to rest and recover, but there were still several key starters that did make an impact, including, of course, number 44, Queen's breakout linebacker Justin Pace, number 26, defensive stalwart Keegan Vanek, and number 15, Jared Seaway, who had an excellent performance, especially in the pass coverage side of things. Seaway showed a nose for the ball and clean technique, breaking up several passes during both the pass skeleton drills and the actual scrimmages themselves. Another performer of note on the defensive side of the ball is Stephen Kepe, the linebacker slash rush end who didn't play a great deal of actual in-game minutes last year, but looked extremely impressive during his reps in the Gold Game. Kepe displayed an uncanny ability to rush the quarterback, and I'm looking forward to seeing what his combination of speed, athleticism, and technique can bring to the team for the 2024 season. We move now to the offensive side of the ball, where we got to see what life without Anthony Soles and Jared Kasari could look like for the Gaels in 2024. Isaiah Adams was given the starting running back reps for the Gaels, and on the very first offensive play during the scrimmage, Adams took a handoff for 50 yards straight up the gut and scored an opening touchdown. A very impressive run from Adams, who looked explosive and showed off his speed with those long strides, eluding the defenders for a huge game-opening score. Although Isaiah Adams did score on the opening handoff of the game, after that, the Queen's running game did not find a great deal of success, but it's not surprising given the other two running backs that dressed behind Adams are both younger players who have yet to pick up any real in-game experience. The Queen's offensive line looked sharp as always. Brady Henniger and Logan Thiessen in particular put in excellent performances during the Gold Game. Starting quarterback Alex Reakin looked sharp in his limited action. I was particularly impressed by the velocity on several of his short to middle distance throws. It appears that wrist injury that sidelined him for much of 2023 is not bothering him now in 2024. Backup quarterback Russell Weir showed off his ability to throw on the run and displayed that explosive mobility of his several times throughout the Gold Game. And quarterback 3, Anthony Leo, turned in a solid performance, taking the majority of the reps in the Gold Game. The Queen's receiver room had a strong showing. Nico Cuomo, Matt Camillo, and Nathan Falcone all looked sharp during the 2024 Gold Game. I'm looking for contributions in the 2024 season from wide receiver number 1, Cedric Smith, who plays mostly out of the slot. Cedric Smith showed flashes of brilliance during the 2023 season, and I think his over-the-top speed and his elusiveness could make him a true receiving threat for Queens. In general, the offense seemed to focus more so on the pass than the run. Over the last two seasons, Queens has had one of the most prolific ground games in all of Canada, so it was an interesting thing to see this offensive philosophy switch from that of the ground and pound to the air raid offense of sorts. Clearly, Queens feels quite comfortable with quarterback number 1 Alex Reakin, and they want to see what this Kingston kid can do. I have to say, the 2024 Gold Game was one for the record books. It was a beautiful day for football. We greatly enjoyed our time there. Thank you to Queens Football for the opportunity to cover this event. And from what I've been told, the 2025 edition of the Gold Game is going to be even bigger and better.
Hello and welcome to Campus Corner. My name is Erica Singh, and here are your campus news headlines. In response to widespread food insecurity among graduate students, the Society of Graduate and Professional Students, or the SGPS, has reopened its food insecurity relief program, securing $15,000 for Loblaws gift cards, half of which will prioritize graduate students with children, caregivers, or those with disabilities. The program aims to provide essential support to members in need. The initiative closed signups on March 18th and received over 400 applications, representing nearly 10% of SGPS membership. The additional $5,000 donation from Queen's Student Affairs has bolstered the program's capacity to assist more students facing food insecurity. The reopening of the Food Insecurity Relief Program follows the closure of the previous iteration in November, when overwhelming demand left its temporary closure. With consistent advocacy efforts at Board of Trustees meetings, Valley has been instrumental in raising awareness about graduate student food insecurity and prompting discussions among university stakeholders. The initiative highlights ongoing challenges faced by graduate students, with previous programs also expressing high demand. As the university community rallies together to support those in need, initiatives like these play a crucial role in addressing food insecurity among students. Next, the University District in Kingston saw its annual St. Patrick's Day celebrations last week, with Kingston Police reporting over $25,000 in fines issued during the festivities. Despite the overall positive atmosphere, this marked an increase of $6,300 in fines compared to the previous year. Police praised attendees for their cooperation, noting a quicker dispersal compared to previous years. While the event was deemed the best in recent memory by Kingston Police, fines were still issued for various violations, including amplified sound, hosting nuisance parties, and liquor license violations. 22 fines were placed for amplified sound or disruptive behavior, with six $2,000 fines for hosting nuisance parties. Additionally, 101 liquor license violations were recorded, resulting in court summons. Two charges of public intoxication were made, leading to one arrest. Despite these violations, there were no significant safety concerns reported. The increased cooperation from students was attributed to outreach efforts by liaison teams regarding the University District Safety Initiative, which was in effect during the celebrations. The initiative aims to deter nuisance parties by increasing fine penalties during peak times. Queens also implemented measures to maintain safety, including additional security personnel conducting bag checks in university buildings to prevent alcohol from being brought inside. Lastly, the AMS Assembly discussed significant changes to the AMS executive elections during its recent meeting, including the possibility of de-slating candidates. A motion was passed to start amending the AMS Constitution, allowing candidates to run individually rather than as a team. However, concerns were raised about the feasibility of implementing such a change within the limited time frame before the final assembly on April 9th. In addition to discussion on executive elections, AMS Assembly also addressed the planned move of faculty societies into the JDOC and the delayed disbursement of student activity fees to certain faculty societies. Faculty society leaders expressed concerns about the lack of updates regarding the JDUC move, but AMS Vice President Michelle Hudson announced that the move would proceed on July 1st. Regarding the delayed disbursement of student activity fees, the AMS resolved the issue after discussions with affected faculty society leaders. These developments mark significant changes in the AMS landscape and highlight ongoing efforts to improve governance and operations within the organization. That's all for me today. Thank you so much. Now over to the weather.
Now for your CFRC weather report for this evening. Tonight, we're expecting mainly cloudy skies, clearing after midnight with a low of 0. Tomorrow, we're looking at sunny skies with a high of 18, except 14 near Lake Ontario, with a UV index of 5 or moderate. At night, we'll have cloudy skies in the evening with a few showers and a risk of thunderstorm in the evening, with a low of 6. On Wednesday, we're looking at cloudy skies with a 30% chance of showers and a high of 18, then overnight, cloudy with a low of 7. Next up is your CFRC traffic report for this evening. Now for your CFRC weekly traffic report. Reduced road restrictions are in effect in Kingston as of February 26th. Heavy trucks and loads are restricted on city roads where posted. These restrictions help reduce damage to roads in the spring. In road closures to look out for, University Avenue Union to Earl is still closed until the end of May for the Queen's JDUP project. King Street, the tragically hit boy to Plast Arms, is closed for an event-related parking and storage at Slush Puppy Place. That will be on April 9th and 10th. In parking disruptions, the Hanson Memorial Parking Structure Restoration Project is still underway. The work is taking place through all levels of the building. The work is planned to conclude in late December of this year. 50% of the available 271 parking spaces will remain available. There is also parking availability at the Chen Memorial and Robert Bruce Memorial parking garages in the two adjacent blocks to the west. In other delays, Queen Street, Montreal Street to Sydenham Street, expect an eastbound lane closure until May 15th. Detours will be in place for the duration of the closure. That wraps up your quick CFRC traffic report for this evening, and next up is your concerts and events calendar with Jesse Bell.
And now it's time for the CFRC Community Concert and Events Calendar. Have an event you'd like covered on our website and news programming? Contact us via cfrc.ca today. Can you dream? Join Paint Night with a Twist Kingston Tuesday, April 9th at 7 p.m. for a private paint night filled with color, laughter, and everyone welcome. Allow your uniqueness to shine forth outside the comfort zone with an accomplished artist as your guide. Seats are limited. Reserve early. Text 343-333-2011. Invite family, friends, and workmates. Tickets are $45 inclusive. Arrive early. Meet friends at Blue Martini for apps and drinks downtown at 178 Ontario Street, Kingston. Also on Tuesday, April 9th, the Keys Job Fair will be taking place from 1 to 5 p.m. at the Portsmouth Olympic Harbor. This event is free to attend and registration is not necessary. By registering on Eventbrite, you will receive the list of participating employers, a professional resume and quality printing, coaching to make a great first impression, tips to succeed at the job fair and get noticed, and a chance to win some great prizes. On Tuesday, April 9th, Thursday, April 11th, and Saturday, April 13th, the Kingston Public Market will be held at Springer Market Square, featuring local vendors. The market will be open from 8:30 a.m. to 4 p.m., and will also be open every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday until late fall. To view a full list of vendors, visit kingstonpublicmarket.ca/vendors. On Wednesday, April 10th, there will be Peace and Quiet at the Spire, which will take place between 11 a.m. and 12:45 p.m. Every Wednesday, you are welcome to experience the peace and quiet of the historical sanctuary of the Spire during a time of silent meditation and contemplation. Come and go anytime within those hours. Enter through the main doors at 82 Sydenham Street. Proof of vaccination and masks are required. All are welcome. Also on Wednesday, April 10th, Vancouver-based singer-songwriter Haley Blay will be performing at the Broom Factory. Doors at 7 p.m. and the show starts at 7:30. This show is all ages and tickets are available for $30 on Eventbrite. On Thursday, April 11th, head over to Daft Brewing at 768 Princess Street from 7:30 p.m. to 10:30 p.m. for Drag Bingo, hosted by Kingston's local drag queen legend, Rowena Way. They will be doing four rounds of bingo, and each round's winner will receive prizes from the brewery. This event is free, and there is no need to register. Also on Thursday, April 11th, Cam Kayan, Strawberry Cough, Monok, and Pound Salt will take the stage at the Broom Factory. Doors open at 7 p.m., show starts at 7:30, tickets are available for $20 at ticketscene.ca. On Friday, April 12th, Screamin' Sins, Sonic Souvenir, and Moffat Avenue will be performing at the Toucan from 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. This is a 19-plus event, and admission is free. On Saturday, April 13th, join Gerald McGrath and his band for the release of his debut album, This Is Fine, at the Mansion from 1 to 4 p.m., featuring performances from Chris Jaeger and the Larks and the Killdeers. Also on Saturday, April 13th, join Treble Award-winning Irish comedian and science communicator Donald Vaughan and prepare to enter the magical world of science from 1 to 2 p.m. at the Spire. Always exciting, sometimes very messy, learn about science and laugh your pants off while you do it. And the best part? You can do all the tricks at home using everyday household items. You too can become a science wizard and amaze your family and friends. Tickets are available on Eventbrite for $17. Queen's Musical Theatre presents The Addams Family, a new musical comedy following the spookiest, kookiest family there is, with a book by Marshall Brickman and Rick Ellis, and music and lyrics by Andrew Lipa. The show runs until Sunday, April 14th at the Rotunda Theatre in Theological Hall. Tickets and dates are available at ticketleap.events. Tickets cost $25 for adults or $17 for students. Are you a trans, non-binary, genderqueer, genderfluid, or any other non-cisgender person who wants a safer space to swim and to meet other students and trans community members? Head over to the Athletics and Recreation Center at 283 Earl Street on Sunday, April 14th at 2:30 p.m. for a solidarity swim. Swimmers will meet at the ARC Earl Street entrance at 2:20 p.m. This event is free and open to the wider Kingston community. For information and to register, visit gogalesgo.com. This concludes CFRC's Community Concert and Events calendar for the week. This is Jesse Bell signing off and wishing you all nothing but the best.
Thank you for tuning in to CFRC's local news programming. To revisit episodes of Today in YGK and hear more from some of our guests, be sure to head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Today in YGK is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. Be sure to stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.
What'll I Wear offers the best in vintage, funky, one-of-a-kind treasures, clothing, accessories, and a fabulous selection of jewels, vintage and new. Find the cutest purse, the most dashing of hats and sunglasses, everything to complete your individual look. What'll I Wear has it all. They can dress you from top to bottom. Find your new fashion fave at What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street in Kingston. Visit their new location and follow them on Facebook to keep up to date with what's in store at What'll I Wear.